Writing sermons can be easier said than done, but in this conversation, we're going to unpack 7 tips that'll help you to write better sermons. Let's do this. You're listening to the Reach Right podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow. Well, hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about sermon writing techniques and giving some tips to pastors to help you write better sermons. I think it should be a good conversation, Ian.
Yeah, we like to help in many ways, just all things ministry, if you will, not just things directly related to digital marketing and everything. And so, we're made up of a team of pastors and ministry leaders here. Some of us preach more than others. Been a while since I've had the privilege to do that, Thomas, but I know it's something you do regularly and it's something that I've enjoyed. And it's just stuff that we do research on and keep fresh on, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we don't come at this as, the world's foremost experts on preaching. I just want to give you some tips though. I have preached a few messages. I looked at my Google Drive a few months ago, and I found that I had like 704 sermons that I've written over the course of my life, which is really cool. That like I feel like I'm Charles Spurgeon or something, where he had all of his notes and things. You could go back and look at his old sermons. I have all these old sermons that I can still look at, and whenever I have a new message that I'm going to be preaching, I look. Have I talked about these topics, or have I talked about this scripture before? Google Drive is amazing for that. And that's not one of the tips. It's not using Google Drive.
No.
We're going to get a little bit more into the actual process of sermon writing with things here. So, but I think it should be a good conversation. So I'll start us off. First thing, I think it's so important, and this is something that I make a habit of, is defining a theme. So number one, write better sermons by defining a theme. This seems so basic, but I know so often I will get into things and I'm not really clear on what it is exactly I want to say in a message. And it's because I haven't defined a theme. So one of the exercises I make myself do is before every sermon, I actually write down, this is what I want my audience to walk away with as a result of listening to this sermon. So I write that down, or I type it, I guess I should say, into the sermon on Google Drive and in my docs file. And I'll actually have that statement, kind of a thesis statement, the main theme. And what it does is it helps me, as I'm writing, really hone and make sure that I'm not going off the rails. I'm not moving away from what my target is. And I'm making sure everything is really laser focused on that. I know that sometimes people will use kind of the buckshot approach when it comes to preaching, and I'll do lots of good points on different topics. I find that you're going to make a better sermon if you really stay laser focused on what is that one theme and what do I want my audience to walk away with as a result of hearing this sermon. So that's what I found.
No, it's good. And I like that you said it keeps you from veering off course. And if the main
goal... you would like that.
So. You're right. You're right.
To keep me laser focused, right, Ian?
That's right. And that being said, let me go to the next point. I'm kidding. This next one I do like because I have preached, and I actually was a communication studies major in college, and
my
degree
no
in that.
You studied communications. Wow.
I know, and that's why we're doing this podcast now, right? That's why I'm doing this. No, but public speaking was one of the many courses I enjoyed, but they always talked about if it was a speech or anything, to start strong and have an attention-getting, kind of intro, and a very powerful intro sets the tone, and it controls how also engaged people are. And we do want that as pastors and ministry leaders, anyone delivering the word or delivering a sermon, you want people engaged. You want them to make it last to the end and not doze off, as we joke about. Mm-hmm. Starting strong. So this could be a hook. It could be an attention-getting statement. And it also could be something along the lines of the theme we just talked about developing, something that is going to be that, hey, here's the main thing we're digging into here today and getting people engaged with that. So a strong start is really important to get people honed in. So,
yeah. So this is true for anything communications wise, right? So before we filmed this, Ian, you and I already recorded a whole bunch of starts or hooks, if you will, to be used on when we convert this podcast into other kinds of content, when we make it into shorts, some of those kinds of things, or reels or TikToks. So we actually made strong starts for other videos that we're going to do. So this is so important. You can look at the data on online video, and you see that if you don't start out like on TikToks and Reels, like the first 2 seconds on a YouTube video in the first like 15 seconds, and I would say in a sermon in the first 2 minutes, if you don't start out really establishing the premise and really grabbing your audience, I think you miss a big opportunity there. So yeah, I think that's well said, Ian, starting strong. Next one is staying focused on the word, or having a clear focus on the word. What I like to do is, I've always found that like having one central passage of scripture helps keep me grounded. I know this isn't the only way to preach. I know there's lots of guys that'll do more topical messages, and they'll have three or four equally weighted scriptures that are important that they pick out, and they'll share it from different parts of the Bible. The way I was always, I grew up in expository preaching. I have always been an expository preacher. So whether I'm doing a topical message or something more, textual, I do like to stay grounded either way in one piece of scripture. So really making sure you choose that scripture. And then the question I ask myself is, what was the original author, so whether it be Paul or Luke or Moses or whoever was writing it, whether it was, what was their original intent when they were writing it? And how can I give that same intent that they had to my audience? And how can I make it relevant for them now? So that's teaching good. The message of scripture and their intent to the people and contextualizing it for today. When we do this, I think it goes a long way.
Yeah, and last thing I'll add to this, as I obviously communicate with a lot of pastors and ministry leaders all the time, day in and day out, I hear more and more often that churches that are seeing more visitors and that are growing, one of the main things or pieces of feedback that they get as to why people are coming to their church or enjoying it is that they do focus on the word, and that they teach practically through the Bible or teach through the Bible. And I think that there is now an identification and awareness of maybe a lot of churches that do go off course, maybe get too topical. Not that we're against any topical preaching. My pastor does that at times, and I've preached that way at times, but definitely sticking to the word. So I think that's a good one to focus on, Thomas. Next one too, I like using clear language. So obviously you want to always put the person that is brand new to your church, you know, at the forefront of your thoughts as far as delivering this to someone who does not maybe even know Jesus yet, or has not been saved, or and someone who's totally unchurched. Why shouldn't they be put first? And when I say put first, as far as the delivery of your message, clear language. And this reminded me of whenever I was a new Christian and a new believer, I went to a very charismatic church for the first time. And there were just so many terms and things that were given throughout the message that I had no idea what this pastor was talking about. He said, you know, I was up the other night revelating. Oh, I don't know what revelating means.
And I still don't know what revelating means, I don't think so.
The only reason I know what it is because I learned later when he said it again, he was talking about how the Lord was giving him a revelation in his bed. And so he was up at night revelating. So he was going to... Point is with this is let's watch out for Christianese. Let's watch out for terms, things, language that maybe someone who just doesn't know the Lord at all or is not already a member of your church. Clearly members that hear your messages over and over again, they may get used to certain terms, those things. We just want to be relevant, right? Be all things to all men, as the word says, to win some, right? That speaks of being relevant and relatable in your language. So use clear language.
I think that one of the rules I have is if I'm using something that I think maybe I feel like I need to use it, like maybe I'm using a Greek word or something in there, I want to talk about a Greek word or define agape or something, for instance.
Right.
Don't go in with the assumption, just because you've talked about it before, that everybody knows what agape means, and take the time to explain to people, like, this is, you know, the Bible was written in three different languages of Aramaic, Greek, and Hebrew. And you can approach it and look at the Greek words and kind of talk to them about what it means. And so give people the context behind it if you're going to do something that is overly complex, I guess. Now, all that being said, I think in general, people are smarter than we give them credit for a lot of times. And so you don't need to be afraid of getting into that. I know some pastors would never touch a Greek definition with a 10-foot pole in a sermon. I don't think you need to totally avoid it, but just make sure you give people the context and then the resources and maybe the training on how to understand these things better if they want to learn more on their own time as well. So
yeah,
I think that's good advice, Ian. Next one is ask good questions. I think this is a really important part of my sermon crafting process is what I try to do is I try to think through what are the biggest objections going to be when someone hears me talk about this.
Yeah.
Like, so what is the skeptic thinking when I share about this topic? Exactly. Yeah. So what are they skeptical about? What are they kind of wondering? Like, they're probably wondering, you mentioned tithing. They're probably wondering, like, wasn't that just an Old Testament thing, or is that really for the New Testament time too? Or does it really mean 10%, or can I give like a lesser or a greater, should I give a lesser or a greater amount? These are questions that, you know, we wish they weren't thinking them as I was preaching this message, but the fact is your audience is thinking about tough questions. And so I find it's best to bring the objection up and bring up that question. And it helps people kind of wrestle with that in the middle of the sermon there. So, you know, we just understand that people are already asking these kinds of things. So that's something I think you should do. And then also just having, there's so much power in a good question. I think especially as you get in to the end of a message, asking kind of, will you, or what would God have you do, these kinds of questions at the end of a message, I think really help to drive it home and help people turn the corner from being just a scriptural topic and like a theological topic to something they can actually apply. And I think questions are the best tool to do that.
Makes me think of how many questions Jesus would ask whenever he was giving a sermon or when he was preaching. So thought-provoking questions, things that, and that also keeps people engaged. So I think stopping and you just not hitting them over the head constantly. So this is a good segue into the next one. It's another good tip and thing you want to apply is balancing scripture and application. So you don't want to be too heavy on just scripture and over it just, you know, abundance of theology and everything and not have ways for people to apply the gospel to their life or to apply that teaching to their world, if you will. And this is, again, feedback that I hear all the time from growing churches and pastors that say people, or people that even just talk about my own pastor or other pastors, is that they really know like how to help this be relevant to my life or how to apply the Bible to my life. So there is a balance. We never want to avoid obviously preaching scripture, but if you're too heavy on that and you don't have life application or stories that you can give, real life situations of application, well then people may not come away with what you're hoping that they come away with there.
That's exactly right. I think just getting that balance right is important. So last is, like we said, start strong. You also need to finish strong. So I spend more time in my message preparation on my intro and my conclusion than any other parts of my message. And so really making sure that you're able to tie it up, bring it all home. And one of the things that I like to do, and I've done this in churches, is that I was most recently, before my current assignment as an executive pastor, I was a pastor of another church where we did communion every week. And so part of our rhythm, kind of our the way we did church on Sundays, is that we would have a communion table up front, and people would come and drop off tithes and offerings if they were inclined to do so, and pick up the Lord's Supper there and take communion. Yeah. And so we did that after the sermon portion. And so what that made me do as the preacher is make sure that every single message led into an invitation to receive the Lord's Supper, to remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, remember his death and resurrection, remember the gospel in it. So it was really an amazing tool for me because it forced us to end every message with that direction there. Yeah. So, and I'm not saying every church should do that. I really like that rhythm, but not every church should do that. But even if you don't, I think just really making sure that you give a very clear, you know, what next, and that it should always tie back to what to do with Jesus. Yeah. What would Jesus have me do with the information I just heard? Yeah. And making sure you've really honed and crafted the exact way you want to say that.
Yeah.
I think it's worth spending the time in your preparation to make sure you nail that end. Anything else to add on that, Ian?
No, just I was smiling because I'm surprised you didn't use the word we always use, give a strong call to action. We use that word all the time. And you know, when we talk about marketing and everything else, same thing applies. What is the main thing someone needs to walk away with? What is their next step? Always not just leaving it open-ended is going to be very effective. So, no, good stuff, Thomas.
Yeah, awesome. Hope it's been helpful for you guys. If it has been, it would mean a lot to me if you would give us a like, a subscribe, those kinds of things. If you have a preaching tip that works for you and has helped you write better sermons, I'd love to hear that in the comments down below too. Yeah. So drop us a line on that. Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family, and we'll see you next time.
See you.